Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Prep Radio, on time, on target. This is actually an interesting episode because of the fact that we just had our yearly... We're going to make these quarterly, but basically...
Are we?
That's what was said, but...
Who said that?
I think Brandon said, right?
Quarterly. I didn't catch it either.
I didn't catch
it. It was mentioned at some point.
Sean Spoontz was like, yeah, we need to have these like every quarter. No, we should have them every week.
So our, several times a year meeting that we've had for Hurricane Group, and everybody has met here in New York City, and Nick Kaufman was in town just like all the rest of the staff.
I need more PowerPoint.
So I guess the big announcement in terms of, for you, Nick, is that your duties have increased here and you're going to be a bigger presence at the site and Hurricane at large.
Yeah, so just the overall direction of the editorial staff. We'll be helping to make sure that we're all rowing in the same direction. The one thing I did want to address with this change is me being the all sites editor-in-chief is to make sure that it's clear that Jack Murphy is still the lead man at NewsRep. I know, not to get too into the weeds with it, but we did make an announcement through the site recently, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone is aware that his experience is still being relied on to lead our team from an editorial standpoint.
I'm going to be running the news site, and Nick will be overall, you know, in charge of the family, the umbrella of Hurricane media websites.
Yeah, we've got editors at each of our four sites for Fighter Sweep, NewsRep, Loadout Room, and SpecialOperations.com. And I'm basically tasked with taking what's coming down from the operations team, transmitting that down to the editors, and then taking everything back from the editors up the flagpole. So basically nothing changes in terms of the content that we're delivering. The writing staff that we have, we're still going to look to expand that and keep hitting the topics that we're currently involved with, and hopefully have some more emphasis on breaking news and in-depth analysis. We've added one new writer to the team recently. I shouldn't say that he's new. We've brought back an awesome writer.
Yeah.
Jay from the UK.
Yeah, yes. Jamie. I actually had lunch with Jamie and his old lady on down on Wall Street.
That's right.
A couple weeks ago. He was in town just visiting. And Jamie is an interesting cat. I met Jamie in Syria in 2015 when I was in the country extrajudiciously, I guess you could say. we all were.
Yeah.
Jamie was over there with the YPG, and I met him and some of the other guys who this audience are probably familiar with. Josh Bell was over there. Jordan Madsen was over there. I ran into all these guys. Buck Clay was over there. Cross paths with a lot of these dudes while I was over there. And Jamie was one of them. Later down the line, he came to work with us. I sent Jamie to Somalia. He did some reporting from there. He did some reporting from Ukraine for us. He did reporting some terrorist attacks. He went to Paris. He went to Brussels, did some reporting there for us. So, I mean, he's kind of an old hand with the website, and he had been doing some security contracting down in Basra, doing like executive protection, but let's just say mobile protection for oil companies down in Basra. He's back home now. Approached me, you know, when we had lunch, asked if we were looking for anyone, if he could come back and write for us, and it's good timing. So
yeah, I mean, it turns out that we need his expertise with Ukraine, with Africa, because you know things aren't slowing down in Africa.
Yeah.
Just his areas of expertise are needed on our staff, so it was perfect timing, and glad to have him back.
Yeah, he brings a depth of experience with him. He's a good guy. He's from Scotland, so. We'll have to get him on the podcast sometime. No, we have had him on the podcast, actually. Yeah. It's just he has that thick accent, but it's okay.
I thought it was British, but I guess I'm wrong.
No, he's from Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking British as well, but you would...
He can correct me and come and like smash a beer bottle over the back of my head if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's Scottish.
But... It clears up some things because with the name change, which is not so recent at this point. I mean, people know that the site is NewsRep, that the radio show is still SoftRep Radio, but we're not going to stop covering special operations news when it's important. No. We'll get to it. We're expanding that into some financial stuff, into other fields, which we've been doing for a while, but it was just overdue that we.
Yeah, man.
Brand.
I mean, we've been reporting on like geopolitical stuff. We've published all, stuff about private military companies, all sorts of things in the national defense realm, domestic security, international politics. I mean, when we were SoftRep, we were posting all kinds of different stuff, writing all kinds of different stuff. So, I mean, I think the name change just reflects what we were already doing, and it doesn't pigeonhole us into being merely a special operations vet bro website. And we were talking about today, and it's true. I think you mentioned it, and I definitely have experienced as well. Like some of the people who came and read SoftRep really believed it was a .gov website. They thought it was like an appendage of Special Operations Command.
Or thought that they had to have been a veteran themselves to be able to access the community like that. So
I'd even have people come to me and be like, Jack, why you can't use four-letter words like that. That's not appropriate for a government site. I'm like, whoa, hold on, buddy. This is a privately owned commercial website, and there's never any intention to deceive people. We were always totally out front about who we are and what we do, but that name alone, SoftRep, actually did confuse some people.
Yeah, so to address some of the concerns that we've had from some of our fans that have been with us, for some of our readers that have been with us for years, just to reiterate, we're not getting away from reporting on special operations news when it's appropriate, but we're expanding our horizon, and we're breaking away from some of the petty things that come along with the military
sure.
and reporting
for
on
sure.
it. We're trying to become a little bit more mainstream in that we're taking a more professional approach. We're not just a blog anymore. We're at a proper news site, and
it's not 2014 anymore. I mean, a Navy SEAL's guide to gardening, not necessary. 10 fast facts about why Special Forces is the best. Not really needed anymore.
Top 10 restaurants of every Navy SEAL.
Yeah, the heady days of ISIS beheading videos are behind us. It's not 2015. It's not 2016. Like, we have to evolve and grow up a little bit here.
Yeah, and the writing staff, we've had some changes for various reasons. And to address that as well, just that there are certain times when it's not appropriate to discuss publicly why a writer's left. Sometimes it's personal reasons, whether it's their health, family issues. Truth be told, some writers get burnout on writing. That happens
sure.
quite a bit. It's a grind. So just because a fan favorite writer has left doesn't necessarily indicate that there's a problem.
Or they're just not writing as much at the moment.
Exactly.
I mean, because these guys, a lot of them have day jobs. They're off doing their thing, and also they're not, don't take this as a slight against anyone, but they're not, necessarily professional writers. We find people who are veterans and have real life experience, and they write part time or they write on the side. And
we've got writers on our staff that it is their full time job, and they produce dozens of articles a week.
Yeah.
And
Alex Hollings comes to mind.
And Stavros is another writer that has that high volume, and not everyone is built for that. So to say that a freelance writer that may be a good writer to say that he can't support himself on that the salary that he's getting to write a few articles a week is acceptable to me. I mean, for some of our readers that may be upset that a writer's left because he can't quote unquote make a living off of this, if he were capable of writing more articles and maybe supporting that a little bit more, then it would be possible. But it's not always financially feasible for us to pay someone to quit their day job when they're only able to write a couple articles a week.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's just the honest truth.
I mean, if you want to make $90,000 or $100,000 a year getting paid to write very little material, I mean, you need to be like a rock star. You need to be like, you know, a well-established journalist working for like the New Yorker or the Atlantic or something. There aren't too many of those people nowadays.
Yeah. So it's been difficult. I've tried to address some of the concerns through chat room on the site and emails even, but it's difficult to articulate things the right way through text. So I just wanted to address a little bit of that on here to let the readers know that we want to keep as many writers as we can, but there are a lot of reasons why they come and go.
I feel like a great deal of our audience, Nick, remembers you from coming on the podcast probably about a year ago, giving us updates on Marine Corps Major Fred Galvin, because you're a Marine yourself, and you are tied into that MARSOC community just through Fred Galvin, knowing him. People might be wondering, what's the update on that, and how is his life going, having to live with what happened, and now people knowing that these guys were innocent?
Sure. So it's actually really great to hear that he has I won't get into the details of his job, but he's got a great job. He was able to sell his business that he had. It was a lot on him to have the weight of that business on his shoulders alone. So he was able to sell that. He's got a great job. So he is still not done fighting for his Marines. He's still in regular contact with Congressman Walter Jones. Still has a lot of things going on behind the scenes to try to get the insignia, the Raider insignia awarded to those Marines, because due to some technicalities with MAR admins and some administrative processes, they are technically not eligible, even though they're the plank holders for Marine Raiders. I mean, even I understand the Marine Corps, they love their rules, but in this case, just if anything is as simple of good faith, just give these guys the badge. And
yeah, it's like how guys who are LERPs in Vietnam, I mean, the Ranger Association has deemed that, you know, the LERPs became Ranger companies later on in the war, but the Ranger Association in the U.S. military has deemed anyone who served in the LERPs, this is like the predecessor to the Rangers. So, you know, you're part of the family.
Yeah. So it's more, the Marine Corps came out with it was technically an exoneration, but it wasn't really as in-depth as they could have gone with it. That's the last that I've reported on it, was that the Marine Corps finally took time to acknowledge this formally and publicly. But it's very evident that the Marine Corps still just wants this all to go away. So on a personal level, it's been really neat to have met some of the guys. Aside from Fred, I've met a few of the guys that were with Fox Company, and I've met one other in person, but I've talked to a few outside of interviewing for the articles that I worked on. So that's been really neat. I actually had a chance to have some food with one of the guys and his wife. And truthfully, I didn't even I heard about this guy through a mutual friend, and it wasn't until I was having food with this couple that they told me who they were. It was more of just we knew a person that put us in touch essentially, and it just worked out that they were going to be coming through town, and I met up with them, and we were eating food when I found out that that's who he was. Wow. So I got to hear the wife's perspective on what it was like, which was a really you know, kind of eye opening. Like I could only imagine what she had to go through, but to hear her say it was pretty, it was pretty powerful. So,
it was amazing. You know, I think we interviewed Fred twice.
Yep.
We had you on several times. You wrote a series of articles about it. And, as I told Fred, I was I was one of those guys in special operations at the time when it happened. And I was one of those guys. I heard the rumors through the grapevine about how the first MARSOC deployment, they get sent to Afghanistan. And, the story is basically that they were door gunning villagers type shit, that they just went buck wild and just started lighting everyone up. And then you hear and you see, there's documents and testimony and everything else now. And you hear it also from Fred himself. I mean, the reality of what happened was so different.
Yeah. In reading the actual declassified documents that I included in the series that I worked on, which other news outlets had avoided, some didn't have access early on, but even when it became available, they didn't want to go too deep into it.
Yeah, I remember that.
And if you read the statements from some of the officers involved, it was reckless, some of the decisions that they made and how they handled that case. There were, for those that haven't read it, go back and do a search on NewsRep for MARSOC, Fox Company, or MARSOC 7, mm-hmm. and it's worth the read.
I can link to it on this episode, too.
And the question I have that remains, and I think Fred has, I think he can speculate. He probably has some intuition as to the reason. But the big question to me is the reason why. Why did the Marine Corps and the Army set out to crucify these guys?
Yeah.
I mean, there's an agenda.
Well, I touch on it in my series, but if you look back before MARSOC was officially stood up, Donald Rumsfeld had ordered a Marine Special Operations unit to be stood up. It was slow rolled, and not to get too deep into it, but basically,
there's that one
was stood up, and that was the response to that. But it was, and they did an amazing job,
yeah,
very successful in what they did. But then it was basically just a half-hearted effort to meet the request from the Secretary of Defense. So. It wasn't
institutionalized in the Marine Corps.
Yes. Yeah. So even at the early stage, it was evident that there was a resistance to it because there's a whole mindset that all Marines are special. Every Marine's a rifleman, whether you're reconnaissance or whatever else, you're no more special than the cook. And, that's just not true, first off, from my own personal opinion, but the Marine Corps never got away from that, and there was just a resistance to it. And then you get into the whole aspect of the financial side of things within SOCOM and that whole battle. That there were just a lot of factors that played into that. But it's been as difficult as that series was. It's definitely the most rewarding thing that I've worked on, and having to see how it affected real people. Mm-hmm. We had Justin Carroll on the podcast recently, former MARSOC operator, great guy. And I really support what he's doing with his privacy and security and some of his other opportunities that he's got going on. But it's been good to see him and others succeed in spite of that. Some of those guys have had their struggles, but I think what we were able to do is help them move past a lot of that.
Yeah. No, it's a good feeling. And I'm glad that, we could lend our platform to, what your work and also to Fred. It's amazing. Sometimes you don't realize when you write these things, you work really hard on something, you publish it. In my case, I've had the daughters of special forces soldiers I've written about come to me. It means the world to them to hear these stories about their dad and the things they did. And they're just overwhelmed with it. I had one guy contact me, and I wrote about how his mother was assigned to a special forces to Blue Light, Special Forces Counterterrorism Unit. And she was the first and only woman actually on an ODA.
Oh, wow.
And she's doing in an intelligence role. And he's like, my mom never really talked about what she did in the Army. And I found out really from reading your article. And he's like, I printed it out and I gave it to her. And it was like the best Mother's Day present ever. He was just so happy to learn about his mom.
It's always nice when good things happen in this line of work.
Yeah. It's meaningful. It means something to people. And in this case, these Marines had been put through the ringer. So for them to receive some kind of exoneration, I know that means a lot to them.
Yeah. It also shows the real world impact of you writing this series. I think that it for sure had an impact on this actually happening and these guys getting exonerated.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I've always been very certain to give credit to the company for is that, Jack, you and Brandon at the time had given me a green light to do this, and you understood, at whatever level, you all understood the implications of putting this information out there, because other outlets had shied away from getting down into the nitty gritty details.
And I had thought up until the time that I communicated with you, I had thought that, yeah, it's true, they were door gunning villagers.
Yeah,
I believe that myself. And I would not have, I never said it here because I didn't have any facts, and thank God I, you know, didn't participate in spreading the rumors.
Yeah.
But, I just mentioned that to say how pervasive this belief was. So I mean, it was an illuminating, experience for me just to let you, you know, have you write that article.
Yeah. There's something to say for that. Cause, in talking to these guys, meeting a few of them in person, like I said, you realize that they're very intelligent people. They're not, whether they were a little younger at the time, obviously they weren't cowboys or, childish Marines out there. I mean, they were experienced combat hardened veterans that,
I mean, they all came from Force Recon. Didn't
correct.
They?
Yeah. Yes. They were all pulled directly from the reconnaissance community. And, again, just not only the documentation that I had to back up the facts of the case, but in meeting with these people, you just realize very, very early on that they're not what they were painted to be. So, there hopefully will be some new updates to that case as time goes on. It was over 10 years ago when the incident happened, I think 11 years now.
2005?
2007 is when the actual ambush happened.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then the court of inquiry happened about a year later.
Because I was in the Q course when I heard about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So yeah, things don't always move too quickly, but we've made quite a bit of progress, and hopefully there's going to be more to that story. Like I said, anybody that knows Fred Galvin, if you're listening to this, you can attest to that, to the fact that he's not a quitter. he doesn't forget things. So he's a good man, and again, glad to call him a friend, and it's always nice to have facts on your side.
Yeah. Other updates to the site. I know that today, actually, as we're recording this, we just launched a Loadout Room app. If you're an iPhone user, I think Android is coming very soon. Chris is amazing and has done like an incredible job launching all these different apps and working on the sites and the Create Club stuff. So that's going to be really cool to see. And then also there's a special promotion on Create Club / the Loadout Room kind of joint thing that a lot of you listening are going to love, which is, you could win an Axel Precision Custom Elite 6.5 Creedmoor rifle package, which is valued at how much were we saying?
It's like 15,000.
Yeah, 14 to 15,000.
Yeah, and it's a giveaway. So just go to crateclub.us/GAW and you can check that out. I think so many people in this audience are avid shooters and are going to be all over that.
Yeah.
And if you aren't, you know somebody that it is.
Yeah. I mean, we just did, we had 2 days of our, annual strategic meetings.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit, and you guys will see this is a shorter episode. Like, I am a little burnt out. Yeah, I think all of us are. Yeah.
But we talked about a hell of a lot of things, hell of a lot of ideas, batted around. That's some pretty cool stuff. I don't want to announce a bunch of stuff that, may or may not happen right now, but I think we talked about a lot of things about optimizing from a business perspective, better customer experiences.
For fans of the Create Club, look for big improvements down the line, whether it's the actual products in the box, whether it's customer service.
Collaborations with different companies that are big in the industry.
And I think we already talked about kind of the direction with NewsRep and where we're going with that. But beyond that, I was saying in the meeting today, I think 2019 is going to be interesting because, well, first off, we're reestablishing our own identity as a news website. At the same time, I think the current trend right now is that, our president is going to continue to dominate the news cycle for the next 2 years.
Well, you mean he's not going to be impeached or resign like MSNBC tells us?
As long as he has his Twitter account, even if he is impeached, he's still going to be very much in the news cycle.
Yeah. If he has access to Twitter, he will be in the news.
I don't think he's going to get impeached. But anyway,
it's a pipe dream for some.
But beyond that, I think, he's in the news cycle every day, and I think the average citizen, John Q. Public, is just getting exhausted and burned out on the news cycle. So it's a question of where are we going to fit in this the current media environment. And I mean, it's no secret that journalism writ large is going through a very tumultuous period right now. So it's going to be a hell of a ride. I can say that much.
Yeah, we have our work cut out for us and the goals that we have in 2019, but we've got a plan to get there. And then again, with our other sites, with us all going in the right direction and working together, with Alex Hollings taking over at Fighter Sweep. I don't know if you all have announced that on the show.
No, we haven't mentioned that, but that's a big one.
Yeah, just quickly with that. So that site had been essentially left dormant for a few months as we had transitioned, and it just wasn't kept up with. So we've moved Alex Hollings into that role. For those of you familiar with his work at NewsRep, he's still going to be doing that. That's his primary focus, but he's also added the Fighter Sweep website to his plate. So for any aviation fans out there, he's got a lot of really great content. I mean, this guy's passionate about aviation, so it really shines through in his work. So be sure to check that out.
And you were all saying we should probably mention, for those going to SHOT Show, are we going to have any presence at SHOT Show? There should be a party.
I can confirm that there will be, and it's going to be... I can't give details on the
date. Is it going to be Bala?
It'll be a little different, though, than past parties in that, you know, to be honest, people would go to past parties. They'd meet Jack, myself, a lot of the writers. This will be scaled down in terms of, you know, who will be there.
Correct. But I will tell you that it'll be scaled up in terms of the venue.
Yes.
I've only seen things like this on MTV Cribs or something when I was a teenager. I mean, it's going to be amazing. So,
yeah. Yeah, so it'll be a little bit different. I think what we did previously was more of a low-key meet and greet.
And tomorrow night is our Christmas party.
Yes, which I think this is going to be a little teaser for those of us fortunate enough to attend tomorrow night. It's going to be a taste of what's going to happen in Vegas.
it does fall under the ball as fuck category, pool and a mansion. And
popping bottles with models.
What do they think? Drake's brother was there smoking weed when they were doing the walkthrough yesterday or something like
Marijuana.
That.
It's going to be interesting. I heard something about a mermaid in a pool. And I made the mistake of saying that to my wife, and my daughter's like, "There's a mermaid! I want to see the mermaid!"
You don't want to see this mermaid?
No, little girl. I'll take a picture for you and show it to you, maybe.
And the only update with the podcast itself, everything is going to go the way it's been going. We've been having incredible guests on and really diverse backgrounds.
We're firing Ian, but other than that, everything remains the same.
No significant changes.
Yeah, no, we're going to we're scrapping video for now. We might revisit it at some point, but the reason being, you know, there are companies out there who are doing like big things in terms of video production with multiple camera angles and stuff. And right now we're just budgeting differently, you know, according to other stuff.
Well, I mean, we don't have all the equipment here set up to do, you know, something that's high quality.
And to be honest,
nobody's watching it. So
I wouldn't say nobody. There's several thousand of you guys watching, but the vast majority.
YouTube.
Yeah, the vast majority of you guys hearing this, you know, you listen on Apple Podcast, on Spotify, on SoundCloud.
It's a big discrepancy. I mean, as far as the people who listen to the podcast, it's like, 50,000 people a month?
Yeah, between...
It's 50, huge.
No, a week.
A week.
50 and 100,000 a week.
A week, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's...
And what did you say, 1.6 million?
No, well, on top of that, all these numbers are like, on top of that, we have the people listening on the apps. That's way more than that, per year. That's 1.6 we're listening just on SoundCloud, you know, Apple Podcasts. It's probably
and then you have to add the people on the app.
The few people who are listening on YouTube. You know,
but by comparison to those numbers,
exactly.
If you look at our YouTube videos, I mean, it's like 150 views. 170 views.
And I'll be the first to say it's because the video is not very exciting right now.
It's not very dynamic.
I think most people listen to this podcast while they're like running on the treadmill or something like that.
Or driving.
Or driving, yeah.
Driving, commuting to work.
There are a lot of, you know, like you said, truckers, also EMTs listen to this stuff as they're driving around.
Yeah, so the video is, you know, like I said, it's on a hiatus because in the future maybe we'll scale up and we'll, you know, get some more cameras in here and make it look a little bit more professional. And if we do, that'd be great. But I guess that's it in terms of updates that we could give to you guys. But subscribe to Crate Club because there's a lot of stuff on the horizon for 2019. All different types of custom products. And everybody today was like throwing out a lot of ideas that we're going to be doing in the future. And, you know, people are vocal about what they want to see.
So it's a club for men, by men, and you can check that out at crateclub.us. Once again, that's crateclub.us. And we still have the Spec Ops channel up for only $4.99 a month if you want to watch our shows like Training Cell, following former Special Operations Forces as they participate in the most advanced training in the country. Everything from shooting schools, defensive driving, jungle and winter warfare, climbing, and a whole lot more. You could check that out, as well as the Inside the Team Rooms at specopschannel.com. Specopschannel.com, only $4.99 a month. Chris did the Spec Ops Channel app as well, which you could check out. And I guess that's about it. This is a shorter episode. This is like the company update episode. It might not be... this is like for the diehards, I feel like. You know, the people who just listen because there's a cool name on here. Yeah, but I think our audience likes to know what's going on at large at the company.
Yeah, for sure.
We also have Brandon's podcast, The Power of Thought, has relaunched, and we have new episodes coming up on there. My friend John Burns, who did the theme song for this show, is doing a theme song for his show. John is awesome, and we're going to get like all new imaging for that. And it's Brandon's podcast is very different. It's more entrepreneurial, and right now the theme of the podcast is freedom is the new rich. So these are people who are digital nomads, living life on their own terms all over the globe, and who are able to basically do whatever their passion is, and all they need is a good Wi-Fi connection and a laptop. And they're able to make shit happen. So I think it's cool if that's something that you hope to participate in and get out of your regular 9-to-5 job and do something you love. So
yeah, at the end of my my memoir, I mentioned that, you know, as I sit here finish writing this book, I'm sitting in a square in Sardinia watching my daughter swim in the ocean. I mean,
that's great.
There's some perks to being a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really is. I just left the only job that I had known after leaving the military of 6.5 years to do this full time, and having the benefit of being able to go meet my kids for lunch at school if I feel like it, or be able to chaperone one of their field trips. It's just, there are little things that you really can't put a price tag on. So it's been good, and I'm glad that Brandon's helping to spread the gospel as far as that lifestyle, because it's changed my life.
I don't get that like Sunday night anxiety anymore, because Monday is actually my least busy day.
It's the opposite for me, but yeah.
Monday is usually the day where you know, booking some guests if there's anyone we want to get on the horizon, but like I don't have anything to record. I don't have any shows to edit that day. So it's not a full work day for me the rest of the week. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. On a Monday, I'm sitting literally in my pajamas at home writing on my computer, you know? So
that's how all of you Jack Murphy fans have pictured him for years.
And it's true. And it's all true.
I guess on a final note, I'll tease out what we have coming up next week, because these are pre-recorded. They're older material because I'll be away. But it's good stuff. I decided not to do best ofs, even though those get a great response. This is stuff that several of you have not heard. So Wednesday, you're going to hear the episode that Brandon did for Power of Thought with Captain Jerry Yellen. Jerry Yellen flew the final combat mission over Japan for the Army Air Forces, as it was called at the time, for a short period during World War II. And then the interesting story is really that his son later lived in Japan, met a girl in Japan, and married a girl from Japan. And, you know, Jerry Yellen, a little bit apprehensive about it, and he was wondering, well, how do her parents feel about this with my background? And apparently her parents said, wait, this is like a guy who flew the final combat mission over here. And the father said to the daughter, I want that man's, you know, son in our gene pool, because that guy's got to be a badass.
Yeah, I think in Japan that warrants a certain amount of respect, because it's like, well, you defeated us in combat.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Which wasn't easy. I mean, the Japanese were pretty tenacious.
Yeah, and then he spoke about, so Jerry Yellen is also Jewish, and he spoke about in the episode that he went to, I believe it was an eye doctor, who was an Arab Palestinian, and he said, like, I went in there with my preconceived notions of, you know, who these people are, and it turned out that this guy was like a huge history buff and like highly respected what I did during World War II, and like I grew a great relationship with this guy. And you know, it is a positive message of like, we are all human, and the really unfortunate thing that happened was a couple months after that interview, he passed away. And I think that was likely the final interview of Jerry Yellen's life. So I think it's just so cool that we get to document those stories. And the fact is, Soft Rep Radio, just because of how long it's been and other factors, it has a bigger listener base than Brandon's podcast. So a lot of you guys have never heard that interview. So that's what you're going to hear on Wednesday. And then on Friday, we did an interview with CJ Ramone a while back, and we split it up into two. Half the interview we did on an episode of Soft Rep Radio with James Powell, and then half of it we did for Power of Thought. I figured, why not piece it together, give you guys the full interview in its full context. And it's CJ talking about replacing Didi Ramone and the Ramones and getting like bottles of piss thrown at him by like crazy punk rockers and how he like persevered through that and you know, just went through it with no fear. And he's just an all-around great guy. I mean, former Marine, and he doesn't mention it, I don't think, during the interview. I listened to it, so no, he doesn't mention it at all. But if there's something that really tells you about what type of guy CJ is, when Jason Newsted quit Metallica, and you might have seen in Some Kind of Monster, the documentary on Metallica, they were auditioning bass players. Prior to that, they tapped CJ, and they were like, we want you to be the bass player. And I think just a few months or maybe a year before that, CJ had a kid who was diagnosed with autism, and he turned down Metallica. He was like, I have a special needs kid at home, and that's my priority. And like that shows that you're an honorable guy who like has a true love of family, that you're going to...
He's got his priorities right.
Yeah, I'm sure people would say, you're an idiot. You turned down being in Metallica. They're like the biggest band in the world, but it's just great, dude.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to hear that on Wednesday. And that's it. We're off to go to a great restaurant that I've never been to, Budokan, in a little over an hour. So excited.
I need
that.
To go get a beer like right now.
Yeah, it's been, you guys got to understand, it's been like 2 days of 8 hour talks of everybody throwing around their ideas.
Lots and of information.
Good idea, Fairy.
Yeah, it's productive, but you do get burnt out. I'm not used to like sitting down for 8 hours.
None of us are. Yeah, I'm used to talking to somebody in person for like an hour a day, if that.
Yeah, so enjoy, guys. And once again, check out that promotion, which is crateclub.us/GAW. If you're interested in a sniper rifle package, which is pretty damn sweet. And that's it. SoftRepRadio.com, Instagram and Twitter at SoftRepRadio. Anything else we're promoting that I'm forgetting?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff we're forgetting. I mean, my mind is kind of burnt right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, we hit the high points.
Yeah, we've got the more urgent stuff. There's lots that I want to say, I think, right now, but I might get in trouble if I announce it prematurely. So we'll save that.
We can circle back around on all that stuff as the situation warrants it.
Yeah, and more writers on the podcast coming up. Stavros is going to make his first appearance in studio, I believe. So that'll be nice. Exciting. And all bunch of different guys from great backgrounds. So, awesome.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio. New episodes up every Wednesday and Friday. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SoftRep Radio.